Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we start out with some breaking news. This is per Julia Morales' Twitter account. Do you guys want the good news or the bad news first, Paul?
I think I want the good news first.
Okay, let's go with good news. So Dusty Baker says Justin Verlander is in line to start Friday against the A's, and he will confirm the rotation soon. The bad news is that Yordan Alvarez is out of the lineup today dealing with some hand soreness. This is, I think, his third hand soreness that we've heard of.
I thought it was better.
Yeah, we started our show with praising Yordan Alvarez and being excited that he was on it again.
Okay, so for what it's worth, he can play well through the hand soreness, it seems like. So now you have to figure out a way to minimize that hand soreness. Oh, man, that puts you in a tricky position. I mean, the way he's hitting right now, you still want him to get some at-bats. I don't know how you manage this. I really don't. I'm no doctor,
it's
obviously.
It's recurring. I mean, it's reoccurring, and that's the thing to me that's troubling is, yes, he can play through it, apparently, but this is the third time, I think, that he's been out of the lineup with hand soreness. My concern is that, okay, he comes back and has another, you know, solid week and a half, 2 weeks, and then something happens during playoffs, and all of a sudden you're missing the bat of Yordan Alvarez and Michael Brantley. I mean, I think that it's cumulative. So, it's definitely concerning. I'm glad that they're resting it instead of trying to make him play through it.
This sucks. I don't know what else to say. I mean, you thought this may be in the past, given that he's 7 for his last 16 with 2 homers, 3 doubles, and he's been walked 6 times. I don't know if it's ever going to be 100% by the end of the year, just given the way that things have been going over the last couple of months.
So would you be okay with him, with that load management from his perspective, of them maybe saying, hey,
you don't have a choice.
Chill until we're in the playoffs. Chill, dog.
But I don't think you can put him on the bench for the entire rest of the year. Like, he still needs, I think, to get a little bit of work because you don't want him rusty. But, yeah, how do you play him and not have him get rusty? I legitimately do not know. Do you trust Dusty Baker in that role to determine whether or not he plays on a given night? I mean, you do have depth at the very least, so there's other players that you can put in, and maybe this in a weird way does allow you to make sure that Trey Mancini doesn't have cobwebs on him, Christian Vasquez doesn't have cobwebs on him come postseason time. But I really do not know what the solution is here, and I don't know that having Dusty Baker in that spot to make that decision is in the best interest of the Astros. I also would say the same thing about James Click, too. I really don't know what you do here. So you're welcome for the non-take.
There you go. Let's move to the Justin Verlander news that he is in line to start Friday against the A's. It was a relief when we heard that this calf injury, oddly enough, calf injury was not serious. How do you feel about that news, and does that enhance your thoughts of maybe the pitching staff going into the playoffs?
Honestly, I feel like with Verlander, you could pitch him like 3 innings. Yeah, just pitch him the 3 innings, make sure that he gets to like 60 or 70 or something like that, so it's not like he's going to have an enhanced workload in the playoffs. But Verlander, above everybody else, is the guy that needs to have everything managed. And you've seen them do a pretty good job with that all season long, even though, selfishly, I'm pissed off that they didn't go for the no-hitter, the game that I was there where for 7 innings against Baltimore. Was it Baltimore? I forget which team it was off the top of my head. Where they had...
Yeah, I believe it was the Orioles.
That's something that I would like to see.
Yeah, me too.
Justin Verlander throw a no-hitter, but I get it. Like, totally get it with Verlander. Alvarez is the weird one. I don't know what to do.
Do you think the fact that they have a pretty easy schedule for the rest of the month will bode in their favor? I say that, though, and they have the Rays coming up.
I actually think so. That would be good to play against the Tampa Bay Rays, too. But think it is in their favor because, I mean, what you saw yesterday and what you saw on Monday against the Tigers, who were obviously like batting practice, you scored seven runs, you got 12 runs. This is, I think, the kind of confidence boost that the lineup could use in a year where they have been very frustrating. And look, the Tigers are diddly-poo-doo-doo. They suck. They are awful. They are an embarrassment. And I feel bad for A.J.
Poor A.J.
I mean, shoot, they got people that are covering the team that are preferring to watch Monday Night Football in the press box.
Yeah, was that a Chandler Rome tweet?
It was a Chandler Rome tweet.
Unbelievable.
If it's me, like, it's understandable. If you're a Tigers employee...
If you're a professional.
If that's your job...
You don't drink beer in the press box.
Well, I mean... That's wrong.
Well,
don't tell me where I can't drink.
Who would ever? All right, let's move now to Texans and Broncos, the week two matchup. Davis Mills and the Texans will be in the Mile High City taking on Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. One of the storylines from this really off season, and especially after week one, is the offensive line communication. Will they protect Davis Mills? Justin Britt talked a little bit about some of that miscommunication they experienced week one.
You know, if there's communication there, then, you know, it starts with me. Being the voice of the O-line, the guy who sets it all. So, you know, there was I fought started for something that shouldn't have happened. You know, I was late on a snap and Titus false start, again, shouldn't have happened. So, just things like that.
A lot of these things happen in that fourth quarter.
But I know you and others were with Justin Britt thinking to themselves, whoa, he was not good on
it was him
Sunday.
And there was somebody else.
Laramie Tunsil
him
had
and
a
Laramie
bad moment,
Tunsil,
too.
Yeah, him and Laramie Tunsil, I think.
But Titus Howard had a bad moment, too. I think, like, the offensive line, you know what? This is a better offensive line than it was last year, and I think you always have to remember this in week one. The offensive line in week 17 is going to be almost always way better than it is in week one, even with the injuries that are suffered over the course of a year. They, I think, will develop a little bit of chemistry together. On paper, they are significantly more talented than the unit that we saw last season, and it was cool to see Kenyon Green get more playing time as the game wore on. I like hearing Britt acknowledge the miscommunication. Tunsil talked about the miscommunication after the game. I got to say, though, this is about the worst possible place to get better at communication. I know we talk about, hey, the home field advantage in Denver of being the altitude. I think Broncos fans are some of the best fans in football.
Really? You don't often hear that.
I think that they are forgotten as far as a crowd that can actually get under your skin. Third and 10, you throw an incomplete pass. Incomplete. I think that Broncos fans have always been fantastic, and that is going to be, especially for Russell Wilson's debut, a rowdy fan base. With Davis Mills looking the way that he did at the end of that game, and with Justin Britt and the offensive line having the miscommunications, like, the biggest disadvantage that the Texans are going to have going into that game is dealing with that noise. And they got to be better with the communications. It was awful in week one in a crowd that was not anywhere close to being 100% full. Have to be better than that.
What do you feel coaching staff-wise? Because we know...
the edge.
I feel like Lovie Smith is a much stronger head coach than Nathaniel Hackett from the very, very, very small sample size we've seen from Nathaniel Hackett. But you also have the element of Pep Hamilton and whatnot.
That's the one advantage you have going into Sunday, because I think that Denver out-talents you across the board. I think the running game is better than yours. I think they have better receivers, clearly. They have... in their tight end that they were actually using in the Monday night game against Seattle, he looked good. Russell Wilson's obviously way better than Davis Mills, no matter what annoyances I might have with Russ. Defensively, I thought that as the game went on, Denver got better and better. Bradley Chubb had a really good game for the Broncos. So the only advantage you have in this game is Lovie Smith. And that this is, and maybe in Pep Hamilton, but I mean, are you feeling great about Pep Hamilton after week one? Like, that is it. Because right now, Nathaniel Hackett, if we're doing coaching power rankings, he's got to be 32 or 32. I mean, you got Russell Wilson under center, and that was a pathetic performance, and you have him questioning himself like after the game. Like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't make that decision. Like, ooh, rough.
Are you feeling optimistic, Sean? I'll ask you this. Any optimism with the Texans and the Broncos this coming week?
A little bit, because the Texans did. I mean, they got out to a 17-point lead against the Colts. So for, you know, two-thirds of the game, or three-fourths of the game, you were like, hey, wow, well, look at them. They coached them up. They might actually shock the world. And then, they didn't. So it'll be an interesting matchup, I think, that especially, I mean, with the with the Seahawks or Seahawks with Russell Wilson and the Broncos getting embarrassed against the Seahawks like that, I kind of expect them to come in with a little bit more focus. They're actually supposed to, you know, be competitive this year. The Texans kind of aren't. And at the end of the day, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett's proved that he's willing to kick 64-yard field goals. Lovie Smith won't kick 54-yard line.
Correct.
So they have a 10-yard kicking advantage right there.
Any confidence for you, Paul? We know you are not a Russell Wilson believer.
I think Denver wins, at least right now. Again, you got to – where do you have the advantage? And while I think that Lovie Smith's a good coach to have after a tie to hopefully turn the page, I do wonder how many players are going to be able to turn the page, after, as we talked about yesterday, after a game where they should have won. They should have won that game. I don't know how you like move on to the next week necessarily, right, if you're one of those younger players.
I think if you're a Texans fan, you have more reason to believe after week one than you did going into the season that the Texans could at least be competitive in
that
the Mile
is
High
fair.
Center.
They're feisty.
Right. There you go.
Feistiness is possibility.
Now. Yeah. All right. A lot of optimism if you have TGS insurance, because you're going to save money, y'all. Text money to 232323. You get an instant quote. The savings are legit. Do you want to hear some of our listeners and how much money they've saved? Gerald in Cyprus, $600. Caesar and Katie saved $1,200 on his home insurance by going through TGS. Robbie in North Houston, $1,900. How do you like them apples? From inside the loop to the suburbs, everyone's saving cash. Here's all you have to do. Get out your phone and text M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. You send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This is an easy thing. I know shopping for home insurance is not fun, but TGS is going to make it the easiest it's ever been. Are you going to make our weekly leaderboard? Let's find out. Text money, 232323. Get that home insurance quote. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we had a Magic Johnson type of Twitter situation. If you don't follow Magic Johnson on Twitter, he's hilarious. Sean, do you want to tell us how this went down with the legendary Emmitt Smith?
Yeah, so Emmitt Smith, Florida running back, great.
Chomp chomp.
Yes. Arizona Cardinals, great, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. That's where he set the record for most. Wait, check that. I don't remember where he set the record.
For
but
most
yeah,
rushing yards.
I remember him as an Arizona Cardinal, though, that's for sure.
So 2 days after Florida lost to Kentucky and 8 days after, or maybe, no, 9 days after they lost to, or after they beat Utah in the Swamp, he tweeted, "Great win against Utah. Good work and keep the program moving forward."
So they did beat Utah, so he was correct about that, but it was 2 days after their loss to Kentucky.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Emmitt, baby, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, you've seen Emmitt Smith on television.
Yeah.
We talked about that in our countdown at 22. Emmitt Smith's appearance on ESPN, he's not a great breakdowner of the sports, if you will. Oh, man.
And he's one of those guys, too, that if he would loosen up a little bit and not overthink it, which is the case with a lot of former athletes, and I'm allowed to say this because I've worked with former athletes on it. So many of them, if they would just like talk like they're talking to a buddy, minus the profanity, it'd be a lot better.
That last part, I think you're right on. I have always felt he was loosened up. The problem was he was very loose with the English language to the point that he was making up words. So that's not going to work out. It sucks.
You have to find that balance between being polished as a broadcaster, but still, like, just talk football.
I loved Emmitt Smith
football
as a kid.
Yeah.
And also as someone who likes the Florida Gators, like, it bums me out that he's sending that after.
That his tweets are over a week delayed.
I mean, he's probably top five most important former Florida players slash personalities and stuff, maybe top three. I mean, he's obviously the all-time
Tebow
leading rusher.
Spurrier are probably one and two, right? The two Heisman winners.
That's probably the order, unless you want to put Danny Werfel in that conversation too. That's especially
it's
after
a bad look.
They
look
so bad against Kentucky.
Well,
too.
So many people have people that run their Twitter for them. Maybe Emmitt should invest in that.
Yes. Yeah, maybe he was trying to like delete
That's a great point, and it was scheduled for the wrong day.
Or delete a draft or something. Yeah. Accidentally sent it.
I will say that if you schedule tweets, sometimes it will schedule it like automatically a week in advance, and you're like, wait, what? Like that'll be the first thing that comes up is
right.
5 days later.
It's important if you do manage a brand social media to be aware of what happens, because if there is a quote unquote like mass shooting, God forbid, or something like that, and your brand sends out a, it's going to be a great Wednesday, and it was on, you need to watch that. All right, it's almost busy season in Houston. We got our notification yesterday from the Houston Rockets that they're going to have their media day on Monday, September 26th, and then training camp is going to be 27th through 29th in Lake Charles. That means that we're almost at that sweet spot of Rockets, Astros, Texans, and we can't forget about our college sports as well. This is going to be fun. We're going to have plenty to talk about. The opposite of the dog days of summer. Paul has a negative take. I know you guys were shocked. I come into this segment so excited to have all the sports.
I didn't say anything yet. Too much sports. Spread them out. Paul Gallant.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I think they should push the start of the NBA season back a couple of months.
Oh, wait. You actually think that?
Yeah. I thought this for a while. Like, it should start.
Do you think they should start on Christmas Day?
No.
A lot of people think they should start Christmas or New Year's.
I think it should start later. Like, August is the most boring sports month of the year. No offense, baseball. I love the NBA, but I don't think that it should take place when there are just nonstop football going on. And especially when, you know, baseball's playoffs are rounding up. Like, that's generally when the NBA season tips off. It's usually like October 20th through 30th or something like that. Sometimes it's in November. The NBA, a sport that I like more than baseball, like I will watch zero of the Rockets probably for the first, outside of this opening night, outside of like the first like maybe
month and
a half of
the year. You know what, Sean, go ahead and hit the Wine Wednesday. I think we know Paul's.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
Good call, Vanessa.
What's your Wednesday wine?
You know, it just comes
wine,
to me.
Wine.
You did me dirty here.
Wait, did you have a wine?
You know what? No, but now I feel like I have the wine.
No, you can have whatever wine
I gotta keep going.
You transitioned from one wine into another wine.
I gotta keep going.
From a red to a white.
Yeah.
Here is my complaint. So, I understand that a university has only a specific amount of property that, you know, they own in a city. I gotta say, though, after that Texas-Alabama game, where everyone was essentially dying, like, it was that hot, that there was nowhere to even get water.
Yeah, I would've, this would've
killed me. Once the game was done, it was brutal. So, far be it from me to complain, but after the game, we thought to ourselves, okay, well, let's go to a restaurant or something. Literally first, just to have some water. And they have those like little paper cups, like tiny paper cups with big like water dispensers throughout the stadium. But at the end of the game, like most of these were empty. So we walked through the downtown capital area to a street thinking to ourselves, okay, no one's going to go this far. So we walked like a mile and a half without drinking water. We get to a bar.
Which is insane.
We have six,
in the heat.
We have six people with us and they say, hey, it's going to be a two-hour wait, which is totally understandable. It's the first bar in the outskirts. So I think to myself, okay, well, my friends are here sitting, like, waiting to get an Uber. I'm going to walk around, go to a bunch of convenience stores, and go to a bunch of liquor stores to see if there's any water. I went to multiple places. No water.
Oh, my God.
No Gatorade. No nothing. So I guess I wish that the city of Austin would have more water.
Okay.
Outside of a stadium on a very hot day.
Less yuppies, more water, says Paul.
Twitch, they're already water rationing in Austin like it's California. That's not a bad take.
It is the California of Texas, so some say.
100%.
I'm done with travel sizes on airplanes. And I'm sure there's a reason why. I know it has to do with security. I know it has to do with post 9/11. I am so sick. I'm going to a wedding this weekend. I'm going home in a couple, about a month or so. I am so sick of having to do a travel size for everything from shampoo, conditioner, lotion, mouthwash, toothpaste. Everything has to be a travel size. Again, yeah. I understand there was a security and is a security element. I know I can pack it in my suitcase if it's full size, but I don't want to pack it in my suitcase if it's full size because I don't want it to spill on my clothes.
What happened, though? Did they remove some of your stuff?
Yes. Oh. It has to be 4 ounces or less. Must be nice to be a man. Do you not know?
No, I do know. I just if you put the big liquids in one of those Ziploc plastic bags, right. And if you have TSA PreCheck, they never take it out.
Right. Well, I'm not rich enough to have TSA PreCheck. We can't all be Paul Gallant.
It's $100.
It's
worth it. It's like 6 years.
$100 American.
But it's $15 still a year. Can't be in your carry on.
Yeah, it can.
If you do TSA PreCheck.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They don't actually look as hard as you think.
Okay,
they look.
Okay, but you're saying you can get past them with it.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be a rule anymore. I'm done with travel sizes on planes. Well, past that.
I don't want people putting like gasoline in
okay,
their carry-on.
Okay, great. Then you know what? Have somebody that tests controversial liquids, but I do not want to have to do my tester anymore.
Gasoline sniffing dogs.
Yeah, gasoline. We already have dogs that sniff other things. I'm done with travel sizes. I don't get it. What's your Ryan Wednesday, Sean?
Mine's about football week one. I was here at the station on Sunday trying to watch the noon slate, and I was flipping through looking for good old Scott Hansen Red Zone.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have Scott Hansen Red Zone here at the Gal Media Studios.
Ooh.
We have Andrew Siciliano.
What's wrong
Red
with Andrew?
Zone.
It's my guy.
I know he's your guy. He's your friend. Not as good as Scott Hansen.
Ooh.
I feel like I watched none of the game.
Andrew Siciliano does it for NFL Network.
He does it for
DirecTV.
And then Scott Hansen
does it for all the cable.
For cable.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we have DirecTV here, so we have Siciliano. We have the Sunday ticket package. So I could have every game on a TV, but I really was just looking forward to doing Texans on one, Red Zone on the other.
Yeah.
And the Red Zone, it just, again.
At least you had it.
You spend too much time. Yeah.
There was
in the mouth. I know. But
there was an issue on Sunday, Sean. I'll let you continue where I guess Sling.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Red Zone didn't work for people with Sling in week one.
It's a big deal.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's a streaming issue, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Siciliano. Listen, I know he's your friend, Paul, but he...
Friend.
I think he...
Oh, stop. He's a nice guy.
He needs to work on the energy. If you could pass along a note, work on the energy when... Because he just throws to games, but he just goes, and Baker making his last stand. Here's
it's a different delivery.
Carolina, where Scott Hansen's like, we go live to where Baker's trying to lead one last comeback.
Hansen
drive.
Is very hyped.
Yeah.
Hansen's got my level of energy.
And the problem is you think of Hansen when you think of the quick...
Yes.
Highlights.
And they do like game to game to game where I feel like Siciliano, I know it's not all on Siciliano, but just to differentiate the Siciliano Red Zone, you feel like you're spending a lot of time on like two games.
I've never seen Siciliano Red Zone, so I honestly wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
This does not sound like a glowing
you're
review.
Living great life between that and pre-check.
Yeah. Must be nice.
I'm telling you.
You got the Rockets play in October.
Oh, why do you need travel sciences? The NTSA never checks
Pre-check is worth it. Like, you don't have to deal with that
crap
anymore.
I actually may look into it. I'm making funny, but I may look into
it. It's so easy.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a look around the AFC South, plus what week two matchups are you looking forward to? That's coming up next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Time to take a ride around the south side of the AFC with Vanessa and Gallant.
Oh, hell yeah. Welcome to our AFC South segment. I am digging this. Let's start out with some AFC South news. Rodrigo Blankenship was let go from the Indianapolis Colts after missing the 42-yard field goal, two kicks out of bounds.
Clipped.
There's a reporter at Fox 59 in Indianapolis that tweeted out a picture about 45 minutes ago, less than 24 hours since being waived by the Colts. Kicker Rodrigo Blankenship was seen practicing field goals by himself at an Indy sports complex. It's kind of a sad picture.
Oh, man.
You can tell, look, he had a great, like almost perfect rookie year. I don't know what happened, but he has missed some very crucial kicks, not only this year, but last season as well.
Did he have his goggles on while he was out there?
Yeah, the funny nerd thing only works if you're like really good at what you do.
The Indy press row in front of us was crushing him.
They were
after
disgusting.
The game because he had the two kicks out of bounds. He also had the missed field goal. But they were essentially saying things along the lines of, and this was me eavesdropping. I don't know who said it. Did like go back to Dungeons and Dragons, nerd. There's like stuff that I would say.
Because we're savages.
I mean, I was surprised
hearing
that. I
think all media people are a little jaded, but yeah. It was surprising for the Hoosier Hospitality. They do have two new kickers
Hoosier
today.
Hospitality? I've never heard that before.
Hoosier Hospitality, yeah. That's what we're known. Chase McLaughlin.
That's what you're known for.
Career long,
for
57 yards, that too.
Corn.
Lucas Haversack.
And tomatoes.
Career long, 57 yards.
Basketball,
as well.
Too. Okay. Okay, we'll see. Look, that is the reason they lost. I mean, they had so many opportunities that they gave back to the Texans, but
they didn't lose. They tied.
42-yard field goal. You are supposed to make it. I look, both teams lost. I feel like the Colts lost that game, don't
it
you?
It did not go in the L column. It went in the tie column.
That's true. Apparently, too, if you go 0-0-17 and another team is 8-9, the team that is 0-0-17 would make the playoffs.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because every tie counts as half a win. So you're exactly 500.
My God.
I saw that on Twitter this morning. I was like, whoa.
God bless cool. social media.
Yes, right
for also that. Also around the AFC South, how do you think Trevor Lawrence looked with Doug Peterson? I've talked up Doug Peterson as being a good guy for Trevor Lawrence to work with. What was your week one sample thoughts?
So I watched it, and you take a look at the final numbers. He's 24 of 42 for 275 yards. I think there's a strong case to be made that maybe he doesn't have the best receiving core around him. But, I mean, to the credit of the Jaguars, who gave Christian Kirk that big money, he at the very least performed. The guys around, not so much. But my big issue with Lawrence is that he is slow looking through everything. And I'm not going to get on him too much for that interception he had. The only interception he threw where he was just trying to make something happen and it was a dumb throw. But he has yet to look special. He doesn't look special out there. You know, he looks like a very athletic quarterback that has a lot of ability, but we were talking about this guy as a once-in-a-generation kind of quarterback, and I do think it's somewhat delicious for all the losers out here who promote tanking that in a draft class that featured the three teams at the top of the draft picking quarterbacks, that Trevor Lawrence has been underwhelming to start off his career. Zach Wilson's looking close to a bust, and that Trey Lance has been a disaster as well. But go ahead, tank for that number one overall pick.
Money
It'll
Mills,
work
baby.
Out.
Tank for Tua. Yeah. Do you think Derrick Henry is the same guy? Derrick Henry obviously had that injury last year, so there are question marks. What's he going to look like? We do know that Ryan Tannehill needs him as a weapon after they shipped off A.J. Brown. Thoughts on Derrick Henry?
I think he's not the same guy. And you look at the stats and you definitely feel that way where he's averaging 3.9 yards a carry. But I texted my buddy who's like a diehard Titans fan. And I was like, how are you feeling about Derrick Henry compared to Ryan Tannehill? Who's the bigger problem? And he was like, Henry does not look like Derrick Henry right now. And obviously that could theoretically change. But when you have one of those feet injuries, if you've talked to anybody who's had one like that, man, it's something that can affect you for the rest of your career. And you're talking about...
You brought that up earlier, actually, with him over the summer.
He's a freight train of a man.
Yeah.
And all that weight that you're putting on that body part, like you can understand how there would be some pain. And the big thing for him, too, is Henry is, at his best, not in between the tackles, which is kind of weird for a guy that's as big as him. He's at his best when he goes outside the tackles, because once he picks up a head of steam and goes around the corner, like no one's going to stop him. But... is he still explosive enough? This is acceleration to the point, if we're looking at it from like a Madden ratings perspective, where he actually gets that first step, where he can actually get to the outside. I'm not seeing it.
Thoughts on Titans week one, Sean Mapes?
I don't know. It was a very weird game with the Giants. I couldn't tell if there are two kind of decent teams playing each other or two kind of mediocre to bad teams playing each other, but they
Giants
were very evenly matched.
That's
I will
not good.
Say that they Saquon Barkley looked good, like the opposite of Derrick Henry, where you're worried about him
right.
coming off all the injuries that has plagued him. He actually looks solid. As far as the Titans, I'll go TBD. I think Vrabel will make them competent, but
he's
I don't
a great
have high
coach.
Hopes.
I'm always going to be mad that for whatever reason he was not the head coach here. They totally missed it.
Well,
missed the bill on that.
I think they set it up in a way where they theoretically could keep him around as long as possible and say things hit the fan that they could replace O'Brien with him. But, I mean, you saw it in Indianapolis, too. was Bruce Arians not a better coach than Chuck Pagano when he stepped in for Chuck Pagano who had cancer? Are you going to be the person, is anyone going to be the person who fires a guy who has his replacement do better than him while he's gone with cancer?
Well, it's called being Wally-pipped. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
That would be the definition of being Wally-pipped and the element of, no, you're right.
You got to be one cold mother bleeper to fire
someone. So
what was
the situation with Vrabel and cancer?
Oh, no, I just mean it's tough to replace a coach that's successful. And Pagano was successful enough to that point in his career and had cancer.
But
where,
who was Vrabel's head coach? Would have been Kubiak or O'Brien.
I mean, it was O'Brien.
O'Brien.
It was
O'Brien,
Vrabel and
right,
O'Brien.
Right.
O'Brien was still doing well. If they were to move on from O'Brien to Vrabel, a very natural transition in hindsight. But do you have the balls to move on from a head coach to someone who's completely unproven? Remember, they demoted Romeo Crennel to this weird assistant head coach to keep Vrabel around and made him the defensive coordinator. So I think they at the very least had that in the back of their mind as some sort of security.
Yeah, so Vrabel got the Titans job, I think, in 2018. And so it would have been weird for him to get offered the Texans job that year, too, because that was also Deshaun Watson played his rookie year, got hurt after six games. And you would think, well, let's keep – he looked great as a rookie.
And Deshaun liked Bill.
And he liked Bill.
That was a big part of it.
Bill is theoretically a great offensive coach.
Theoretically.
Watched Alabama lately. So let's keep him around to help grow this young
player.
Very
similar situation with Joe Espada and the Astros. I know I beat it with the drum, but, I mean, you're not going to – in the middle of the, like, it would be weird for them to not renew Dusty and to move up Joe Espada, but if they don't, Joe Espada is going to a different team as a manager.
At least that situation makes sense from the perspective of Baker's old, maybe he retires.
There wouldn't be a natural progression.
Yeah, like Bruce Arians with Todd Bowles right now. Like Arians wanted Bowles to have the job. I bet Dusty would enjoy it if Espada was the one to take things over. On Twitch being brought up, Vrabel's defense when he was the defensive coordinator with the Texans wasn't very good, and that is accurate. They were not very good. The thing was, though, when he was linebacker coach, like, they got the most out of that position, and a lot of people were speaking highly of him. And there was this weird dynamic where some people were thinking to themselves, oh, well, do you want to bring in a coach who's essentially being talked about as this great leader of men? And I know there were some here that were annoyed by, like, oh, Vrabel's just this big macho figure. I got to say, though, would you not want to have someone who is a macho, just masculine, strong, forward-facing individual as your head coach? If you're a player, or would you want, like, or hell, even like Dan Campbell, or would you want some mamby-pamby, I don't know what I'm doing, like Nathaniel Hackett? Like, the image of a coach is important, and Vrabel had the image of a head coach, even when, as a defensive coordinator, he wasn't very good. And, you know, head coaches, they're more about, you know, delegating and keeping things on time than they are about specific game planning as far as like what a defense or an offense is going to do. Like that is I think a head coach's greatest strength, the ability to feel comfortable delegating. That's why O'Brien, for some of the good that he had here, would never work out because he had no ability to delegate
to others.
At
one point, he had three jobs. He was calling plays, head coach, and GM. That did not work out. Let's look at the AFC South Week 2. Titans at Bills, Colts at Jags, which, as we know, is very publicly their Achilles heel, and then the Texans, of course, at Broncos. Titans-Bills, I think, should be interesting. I see the Bills winning, but are the Titans going to be mad from Week 1 and try to play their best? We'll see. Colts at Jags, the storyline there, that was the Colts' last game of the season.
That game sucks.
And then Texans at Broncos.
Oh, come on, Vanessa. Vanessa going with the homer pick here. What?
No. I'm not saying it's going to be the best game.
Patriots Steelers.
It is objectively interesting that the Colts never win in Jacksonville.
You know what? That is a fair
the
point.
Funniest possible thing that could happen. Colts at Jags, week two, tie. Colts are 0-2. That is officially my rooting interest.
Do we want another half win?
We've never seen an 0-2 team, have we?
I don't think we've ever seen a team with two ties.
You know what? No, I think actually, and I remember this because I was a nerd and I used to look at like NFL history books. It happened at one point in the 80s. I forget what team it happened with, but I'm like
they
80%
started out with two ties.
They didn't start out with two ties. They had two ties at the end of the year.
Well, you had a bow tie yesterday. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Looked hot.
There's some bad texts. Jen Sturger finally getting her day in the sun. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
free stuff, free stuff, free stuff, free Ooh. Stuff. Hey, guys, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Cougs try to bounce back after a couple of crazy games. Most recently, a loss in overtime to Texas Tech. They're going to get to bounce back against future Big 12 opponent, undefeated Kansas on Saturday. Caller 3, you get free tickets to see that game. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN.
I'm excited to see them this year.
I am too. This game against Kansas is weirdly interesting because Kansas actually
has
been frisky.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I zoned out and I thought they were basketball tickets. These are football tickets. I'm excited to see if the football team can win. More.
And I am much more excited for the basketball
dominant.
Team.
I just totally pulled a Paul.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa. 713. Go Cougs. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets to buy tickets. Yeah, I don't really have a defense for that. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Hashtag go Cougs.
It was a good day for one Jen Sturger. She was obviously the one that Brett Favre sent the pictures to.
Picks of his Ramalama ding dong.
So there's been reports that Brett Favre has been using the system to get over $70 million in welfare funds for speeches he never gave. And then more recently,
a volleyball center.
He wanted a volleyball center. Sounds random. Daughters involved, etc. The governor was in on it. Here are some of the texts from Brett. If you were to pay me, is there any way the media can find out where it came from and how much?
Oh, no.
To which the response from a government official.
Idiot.
No, we never have had that info publicized. I understand you being uneasy about that, though. Let's see what happens on Monday with the conversation with some of the folks at Southern. Maybe it will click with them, hopefully. He says, okay, thanks. She says, wow, just got off the phone with Phil Bryant. He is on board with us. We will get this done. He says, awesome. I needed to hear that for sure.
Amateur hour. If you're going to
This is somebody that got in trouble for texting as an NFL quarterback.
But he didn't really get in trouble for texting as an
My
NFL quarterback.
My point is,
he should have gotten in trouble.
This is somebody whose texts were publicized as his time as a quarterback due to Jen Sturger releasing them.
That is true. It's weird though. He got nothing. For
it's not
that.
About whether he not. My point is, this is somebody that should be aware that your text can be publicized, whether he got in trouble or not. This is somebody that should be aware that. Your texts can be publicized.
Wasn't it a picture?
Publicized through. No, there were voicemails and texts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I followed this very closely. There were texts, there were voicemails, and there was the pee-pee picture.
The pee-pee picture.
Yes.
Pee-pee picture.
The voicemails were the best because it was like this muffled, not to laugh, but, you haven't been returning my text. This is Brett. I mean, they were incredibly awkward.
Don't have you seen me throwing a football around in my jeans? Well, here's why I'm saying... Yeah, he didn't get in any trouble for it. I know that, obviously, it could be made public, but,
right.
I mean, what happened to him? Like, Jen Sturger got slut-shamed.
Right.
For
right.
having someone send a picture of his penis to her. Which, I honestly, it's like one of the worst things that's happened over the course of the last 20 years in terms of, like, the coverage of something
she and Monica
completely
Lewinsky.
Blowing up in the face of the person who actually was... The victim. Yeah, the Monica Lewinsky thing. The Monica Lewinsky thing does seem like it was a little consensual, and I don't know, maybe Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, it was definitely consensual, but the way it was covered, I think, has been
yes.
controversial.
Favre, I don't think, is a smart man. I as you said, if you put anything in writing that you think is going to be nefarious, then don't put it in writing. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory. Have you ever had thoughts that you want to keep to yourself that you've, like, texted to somebody else? Like, I don't know.
You have to really trust that person.
Yes, 100%.
And with Brett, I mean, to your point, he's not smart. I think I'm just disappointed that he did something really crappy over text before and isn't intelligent enough to learn from it and to know that
no.
through
no.
subpoenas, through freedom of information, you know, like Big J journalist Paul over here, you know that they can... access that information, which is what they did in this case. It's a bummer, man. He just has not learned from any of his mistakes.
USM, yeah. Southern Mississippi.
Hey, you want to commit some crimes? Well, do you think these crimes are get out? All these crimes I've been committing with you? I can trust you because you're also committing crimes. You're also a criminal.
We're blood brothers.
God. Russell Westbrook's LA home is for sale.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Yeah, what is happening? What is going on?
What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Russell Westbrook, she's writing on the wall, liberal California falling apart.
Yeah, they when they tweeted this, by the way, the Brian Windhorst meme.
Oh, yeah, it's all over the place. I mean, he could be moving somewhere else. It's always funny where people pay attention to the home sales of a person. But I don't know. Maybe Russell Westbrook is secretly someone who's like, yeah, California gotten a little too ridiculous.
I mean, he's also from Los Angeles. So I don't know. Probably just moving into another house.
Could be.
Because I imagine, because most NBA players just live in LA in the offseason anyway.
That's, you know, that's why I always, I'm like, when they go to cold weather, I'm like, yeah, it's probably not ideal, but it's not like they're there year round.
Yeah, it's like
they're on the road half the time.
6 months, yeah.
All right, guys, you know what time it is. Garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So it's not like Steph Curry to be all Kyrie Irving, but he did at one point question whether the moon landing was real. Not that I've questioned that. But Steph Curry at one point questioned it, and he revealed that Barack Obama scolded him and said, quote, you've got to do something about this because young children were starting to say the moon landing isn't real, per my favorite basketball player, Steph Curry.
I mean, that's one way to go about it. But honestly, I feel like whenever somebody says that, what we should do is we should get Buzz Aldrin.
Okay.
One of the greatest Americans that's ever been. To go find that person and punch him in the face like he did a couple of years ago. That's one of my favorite videos online is this person that's asking Buzz Aldrin, like, hey, was the moon landing fake? Was the moon landing fake? One of those like TMZ reporting douchebags. And Buzz just cold cocks the guy. He's Buzz Aldrin. I mean, American hero. He can get away from it with it. So maybe Obama should have sent Buzz Aldrin to Steph Curry's. I think a lot of people in Houston would have liked to see Steph Curry maybe get a slap from Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin, yes or no, is he still with us?
Ooh.
No Google.
Yes.
No.
Paul's right.
Yes!
He's
still going!
92 years young.
Oh my
Buzz!
Go Buzz!
I love Buzz Aldrin.
It was an email. He said of the 2018 incident, it was very stern, it was direct, and so the NBA star Steph Curry then responded by hosting a 15-minute conversation with Scott Kelly, a retired Navy captain and astronaut.
Not Buzz Aldrin, because it could have gotten physical.
Buzz Aldrin would have busted his ass.
Also, it must be crazy to get an email from Barack Obama.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, or any president, especially.
Yeah. I'd assume he's asking you to donate.
Right. Like, yeah, it's a good point. This next story, I'm not going to lie. I don't know anything about video games. GoldenEye is coming to Xbox.
You never play GoldenEye?
What does this mean?
Okay,
what is a GoldenEye?
Oh, my God. Maybe this is dating both of you guys. So, did either of you ever have an N64 growing up?
I don't know what it is.
No.
You don't know what an N64 is?
I've played, three video games in my life.
You don't know what an N64 is?
It's like is the, that Nintendo
I know what it is, but I didn't have it.
Oh, yeah, shoot. You guys, 1996, how old were both of you?
A year.
Zero.
Oh, my God.
I was being born in April.
So in 1996, N64 was released and Tickle Me Elmo were released. And it was like the first time where these two toys, everyone lost their minds over trying to find them. And you couldn't get them
for essentially Tickle Me Elmo.
Like months/years afterwards.
That's what Jingle All the Way is based off of.
Essentially, yeah. Seriously, you're not wrong. N64 had this video game called GoldenEye. It was the first, like, awesome first-person shooter that you could play with friends in the same room. And I had many a night as a 8, 9, 10-year-old playing GoldenEye. So now they're remastering GoldenEye to play on modern video game consoles, which is very exciting to a lot of people, myself included.
So are you going to get it?
I haven't played video games in a really long time, so I don't know. My big problem with video games is I start playing them, and the next thing I know, 5 hours have gone by.
Oh.
And I know
Kyler
that.
Murray.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
Should be an NFL quarterback.
I know, right?
Do you have a study clause? Did Mr. Gallup make you sign a study clause?
He might now.
Slip that in there.
He might now.
Ecuador might get kicked out of the World Cup again after evidence of fake birth certificates and multiple identities have emerged. I always think of, what's bench warmers? With the note that says, I am 12.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I also think of the Little League World Series with what's-his-face.
Danny Almonte.
Yeah.
So this has been going back and forth for a couple of months where we're not 100% sure whether or not Ecuador is going to play. And it seemed like things had been cleared up. And again, like they're like, oh, they went one person down on the roster. And we're like, oh, so this birth certificate's faked. It's probably, and I base this entirely off of something that one Gus Fring said in Breaking Bad, that I imagine that the paperwork that is being done in South American countries is not optimal. And I'm not sure if Ecuador is in North America or South America.
Yeah, I don't know. Gonna assume
it's in the in the
It's
in
not
South.
A continent, though.
No, it's in South America.
Okay.
The equator is
Ecuador.
Is there.
Where do you think Ecuador gets its name?
On the equator.
Oh.
What if it's not on the equator?
Wait, is that where it gets
amazing.
Its name?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Fifth grade geography B, second
Ecuador.
Place right here.
Look at you.
It was a geography B.
Yeah.
We had it 2 years. Finished second.
I wish I got to do a geography B.
Yeah, I would have failed. I know that shocks you guys.
I want to go back and forth with Sean on geography B. I feel like I do okay.
Coming up, I don't mean to spoil any Astros news, but Jordan is out of the lineup with hand soreness, and Justin Verlander is back Friday. But don't spoil it for Jeremy Branham. He and Joel Blake, the Killer Bees, are coming up from 12 to 3. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.